Okay, I'd like you to read 1 Chronicles 21. Now, this chapter in 1 Chronicles tells of David numbering the people. And because he numbered the people, he took a census, you understand? Okay, back with me now. David took a census without being instructed to do it of the Lord. And because he did this, God said, David, speaking, I'm going to punish you, and you can have your choice of 3 punishments. Either I'll let you follow after the hands of your enemies for 3 months. I believe that's what it was, yeah. He said, first of the 23rd chapter, either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be swept away before your foes while the sword of your enemies overtakes you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now, Brad said, think it over, what do you want? And David thought for a few minutes. He said, don't let me fall into the hand of my enemies. Even under the punishment of God, I'd rather be in God's hand than I'd rather be in the hands of my enemies. So I'll take punishment in the hands of the Lord under the flaming sword. Now, the reason it was such a grievous crime for David to take the census is because when the people of Israel were numbered, the each man had to bring a piece of money to the temple. It was called a half shekel, and it was atonement money. And what it indicated was this. It was the same thing as a blood covering. It indicated, my soul is being counted. I'm being numbered before God. I'm being brought before the attention of God. I can't come there in my sins. I need a covering or I'll die. So sin cannot appear before God without being instantly judged. And the money, the atonement money, spoke of the blood covering. It was the equivalent to a blood covering. And David counted the people and numbered them and took a census, and he did not require them to bring that money which spoke of redemption. It spoke of blood covering. It was silver money. Silver always speaks of redemption. And because of that, he violated the way of the tree of life. Because God set the angel with the flaming sword to preserve the way to the tree of life, because man couldn't come to it without a blood covering. So God made that atonement money a type or a picture of redemption. It spoke of redemption. And David very arrogantly came before the tree of life in respect, so to speak, in the spirit, without bringing the process that God gave him as a covering. And because of it, God punished him. And it felt seemed kind of awkward, but that's what happened. And it says down in the 31st part of the chapter, it says that God sent a pestilence to Israel, and he killed thousands and thousands of them in this 3-day time. And David and the elders covered their faces with sackcloth, and they began to intercede. And David said, Lord, it's my fault. These people are just sheep. Please don't let this fall on them anymore. Take it out on me and my family. Let us suffer the just punishment that we should have, because we have violated your provision for atonement. And I have done it myself. Let me and my family suffer the results of this sin. But please don't let the people suffer anymore. Intercession rose up in his heart to come before the people that were suffering because of his sin. You see, sin must be punished. It's part of the goodness of God. God is not good if sin gets away scot-free. It is part and parcel of the goodness of God that the wicked shall be judged. And then the Lord, David looked up, and he saw at the threshing floor of Ornan an angel standing between heaven and earth with his sword in his hand, with his sleeve rolled, and the blood of those that had died is on the sword. David saw the sword, and he called out to God, and God said, stop. To the angel, and the angel stayed there. Now, the threshing floor of Ornan is the same place where Abraham had sacrificed before the Lord. It's the same place he brought Isaac to sacrifice, and the Lord says, don't do it. The Lord provides himself. It's the same place that the temple was built in the days of Solomon. On that day, it was on Mount Moriah. It is the same place on the other end of the same mountain that Jesus was crucified. This is where David saw it. He saw the vengeance of God that was walking and stomping through the land, taking vengeance on sin that God must just judge because he is good. And David saw it, and he prayed out to God, oh, please, Lord, stop and let this whole thing be on me. Let me bear it, because after all, it is my sin. I have violated your provision for approach to the tree of life. God stopped the angel and commanded David to make sacrifice right there. You didn't take the atonement money like you should have, so I'll allow you now to make sacrifice. It speaks of atonement too. It speaks of the blood covering that I have provided, that man's sin will be covered until this sacrifice comes, who will take that sin and put it away forever. And so David built an altar, and he offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and the Lord answered him from heaven on the burnt offering. The uncreated light of the presence of God came down from heaven and set that sacrifice on fire and burned it up. And it says in the 10th verse, But David could not go before of it. Before it, David couldn't go before the altar in the presence of God at Gibeon to inquire of God, for he was terrified by the sword of the angel of the Lord. David was said to go up to that place because of the angel that was standing there with the flaming sword. Now I want you to put this together in your mind, all four of these circumstances. God killing an animal and taking the skins of it and covering Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness that was revealed when the presence of God was removed from them because of their sin. God standing the cherubim, the highest order of angelic being, with a flaming sword to protect the way to the tree of life, lest Adam and Eve put their hand out and eat it and remain forever in their sin. God providing cities of refuge for his people for inadvertent sin. God punishing deliberate sin of David by transgressing God's prescribed way of approach and speaking smallly and casting derision on the atonement of God by not requiring atonement money to be made of the men when they numbered themselves. I want you to think of all four of those things together. Now, think of this. Jesus, our city of refuge. Jesus is the shelter in the time of storm. Jesus is the one that says, he that abideth under the shelter of the Almighty, a dwelling place. He is my dwelling place unto all generations. Jesus is our shelter. He is our city of refuge. For we were born as violators of the word of God. We inherited it naturally from our father Adam. Wasn't our fault. It was just that that's the way we are. That's the way we were born. We were by nature sinners, and by nature we chose against God. We didn't deliberately do it. It was an accident. We couldn't help ourselves. We were born into it, and we were made, had provision made for us. And then came the day when we were aware of sin. We were aware that all sinners must be punished, and we deliberately chose against God and chose to go our own way. We then did the sin that Adam did. Before we did the sin that Eve did, unwillful, dummied into it, then we did the sin of Adam. But Jesus is our city of refuge. And the scripture says that our city of refuge, Jesus, in the garden, in another garden, he let great drops of sweat, as it were like blood. I'm told that under great pressure, the blood vessels and sweat glands can rupture, and it produces watery sweat. It is blood and sweat. And Jesus, our city of refuge. In another garden, long after the first garden, sweat and underwent the process that was part of the curse of the fall of man. And he, our provision of God, our city of refuge, he himself cried out, and look if you will over in Psalms 22. Psalms 22:20, which is the clearest picture of crucifixion in the scriptures, and this was thousands of years before the Romans, who were the inventor of crucifixion, ever came about. Psalms 22, in the 20th verse, says, deliver my soul from the sword. Now listen to this. David prophesies that Jesus will cry out in that other garden, oh, deliver my soul from the sword. What sword? The sword in the hand of the angel, the flaming sword, taking vengeance. And Jesus truly said that. For did he not say, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me? Deliver my soul from the sword, from the cup of the wrath of God on sin. If there's any other way to redeem the race, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus faced that flaming sword, but David couldn't stand to face. And Jesus, in another garden, under the curse and taking with on himself that which was a part of the natural results of sin, by the sweat of his brow, prayed, Lord, let the sword, let this cup pass from me. But it's nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then it says that the Father said his will. He revealed his will over in Zechariah, the 13th and the 7th verse. I want you to look at that in your word. It's important to have it. If you can't find it real quick, just mark it down and look at it when you get home. Zechariah, the 13th chapter, and the 7th verse says this: Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. What was the Father's will? Isaiah 53. It hath pleased the Father to bruise him. He hath made his soul an offering for sin. Jesus faced the flaming sword of the judgment of God in another garden, and he asked, If it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But the Lord said, Awake, O sword, take vengeance. Take vengeance. God decreed that he would create. God decreed that he would commit sin. God decreed that he would embrace that sin himself and die as that sin and put it away forever. Jesus, our city of refuge, faced the flaming sword of the wrath of God, and he now has provided that the way to the tree of life is open now. The way to the tree of life is open. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. He that hath, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. No more does the flaming cherubim need to stand between us and the tree of life. For our city of refuge, for we have fled for his praise and for comfort and for care, is the high priest that ever lives to make intercession for us. He is the one who has faced the flaming sword of the cup of the wrath of God for us. And in him, now, the way, the truth, the life, he is all of that which that tree of life represents. He is the reality of which Genesis is merely the picture of. Now, what happened in Genesis, it was a reality. It happened at a point in time. It was a real, real happening. Adam, Adam, a real man. Eve, the woman, a real woman. The creation, and now, you can date it if you knew the date. It really happened, and it was a picture of what really happened when Jesus came. It was a picture, a reflection of the reality that was to come. And the fact that the way to the tree of life is open for you and I is a reality right now. And we walk in it. We live in it. Our city of refuge, we are safe there. The way to the tree of life is open, and there we can live and delight in the presence of God now and forevermore. It is real, and there is coming the day when we will see it with our eyes. No longer will we just see it with our spirit, but we'll see it with our eyes, when we will be gathered together with him, never again to be parted from him, continually and constantly dwelling in the very presence of God. But we don't have to wait until that day. For we are now, this moment, in the kingdom of the Holy Spirit, enjoying all of the benefits that have been provided for us in Jesus, our city of refuge. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless and praise your name, that you have done everything so well, so expertly, so reasonably, so perfectly done, Father. We praise you and bless you and thank you. Teach us, O God, to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, that we might recognize our privilege of revealing the wisdom of God in every circumstance that we find ourselves in, that we might continually in our spirits and in our bodies be praising and worshiping before you in the presence of the Most High God. We bless you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.